during the season of Lent, I wanted to use the words from the cross for one very important reason. When you are on the cross, you don't have a lot of words you get to say, so you only say the important ones. So I want these words of Jesus to be lifted up a little bit higher than some of the other things that we read through Scripture, that they get the importance that they're due. You see, when you're on the cross, the whole point of the cross is excruciating pain, and you suffocate to death because you lose all the strength in your body to take another breath. So in order to take another breath, you have to lift yourself up and pull against the nail holes, and therefore the pain becomes intense. And so at some point, you just become so weary you can't lift yourself one more time to take one more breath. Without being able to take a breath, you cannot speak. And when you speak, you use up that breath that is so critical. These words, I believe, have greater importance than some of the other words in Scripture. What is God trying to tell us from the cross? Last week, Laura, with very, very little notice, was able to preach on pardon. About Tuesday of this week, I sent a note to the folks who prepare the bulletin and the e-news, and I said, I'd like to use last week's sermon so I don't have to prepare a new one. Thank you very much. Only to get word back that Laura had handled the topic very well, and I didn't need to use the same sermon, and I went, darn, that sure made my week easier. And so during the week, I found the chance to listen to Laura's sermon. From what I understand, though, it's different in all three services, because it's not like you had notes written out. And so you were able, so I got to listen to whichever one we recorded. And she made some incredible points for having no preparation time whatsoever. It's not our action that causes the forgiveness. God knew in advance that we would not get it right. She said in the sermon that I got to listen to, resentment nails someone to the cross. Hate and anger nails someone to the cross. And she said another time, she said, anger and hate and bitterness in your heart, it will get the best of you. And I think I took this from what she was saying, something like, we have to look at others with the same lens that we look at ourselves through, and vice versa. We have to look at ourselves through the same lens that we look at others. And I also extrapolated a bit that transformation comes through forgiveness. God uses forgiveness to transform us, to free us, to heal us and renew us. She said over and over and over that we were looking for a space for grace. Don't miss those pieces. I think that encapsulates much of what Jesus is trying to say from the cross about pardon. I had a couple of things that I was exploring in my preparation last week. One of them was, is blame important to God? Do you think God cares whether it was your fault or they knocked over the lamp? I mean, there's this, if you've got an only child, then blame is not an issue. But if you've got more than one, then all of a sudden we start worrying about who's at fault and who started it, right? I'm not sure that God worries about blame near as much as we worry about blame. I thought that as I prepared that talking about the them, that them is plural, and the them is not us, There's a sense in which God saying, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, is that God is including us when we feel like we're on the outside, and when God feel, and when we feel like somebody else is on the outside, God's including them. So them, the pardon them, forgive them, I think it's a critical piece. And I think it's something that we've got to run over in our head over and over and over to try to get a sense of. Is forgiveness for me? I thought a lot about the role between, the difference between confession and repentance and when that comes into line with forgiveness. And I had one line in mind that said, maybe we should recognize that God does not need us to confess and repent, but we need to confess and repent. The last line of my prepared sermon for last week was, what do you need to confess? I believe true grace moves us from awareness, moves us to awareness and repentance. And it's not that we forget, but that forgiveness transforms us. This week we're talking about assurance, and I think the two things are woven together. Jesus says in Luke 23:43, something like, I assure you today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus is hung on the cross, he's mocked by the leaders and by the soldiers. One of the criminals being crucified with him added his own measure of scorn. But the other crucified criminal sensed that Jesus was being treated unjustly. So he speaks up for Jesus. He cries out, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This word from the cross is not an exception to the rule, but I believe it shows us the character of God. Jesus just doesn't throw around forgiveness and assurance like they make no difference, like they're just throwaways. I think this is critically important for us to know who God is. There isn't this sense where Jesus says to the thief on the cross that he just says, today you'll be with me in paradise. There's no sense in which he has to come down and do discipleship program for 3 years. There's no sense that he has to somehow or another come down and get baptized in the Jordan River. There's no sense that he has to take communion. There's no sense that he has to go through confirmation class. It's just, I'm telling you, today, you're going to experience the kingdom of God. Doesn't that feel like amazing grace to you? How does that happen? God looks at this one person. All right, so do we have to go to magical thinking and we think, all right, so God knows this guy on the inside and out, so he understands the difference between these two, and therefore, it's okay. Or is it that the other one chooses to mock and Jesus can see in this person awareness? We deserve this, he said. We deserve this. Just leave him alone. But I'm not asking for much. Just remember me. Think of me. And Jesus says, today. I think we have to hear that phrase and understand the today as the kingdom arrives today. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Today. Which means Jesus on the cross is the moment the kingdom comes. Assurance is not your confidence, but is a clear awareness of God's grace and unconditional love for us all. I think this word from the cross shows us the width and the breadth of God's love. There's no lifelong journey of discipleship. Just on the cross, oh my gosh, I blew it. don't forget me. And God opens the doors to paradise. It's not that he said open sesame magic words. It's that who God is one who loves all of God's children in such a way that God never wants somebody to feel excluded. God's love, my friends, is amazing. So amazing that at times you are part of the them whom God forgives before you even know what you're doing. And I should say that every once in a while when we like to sit together and talk about the thems that are outside the church or thems that are, that God's them extends to the thems we don't really like either. God's love is wide. In the United Methodist Church, we carry around this little story of assurance that changes everything. I'm sure you've heard glimpses of this story before from the Journal of John Wesley, who's the founder of the Methodist movement. On May 24th, 1738, John has grown up as a preacher's kid. He went to Oxford and studied and became a priest in the Anglican Church. The Episcopalian Church is close enough. He decides what he wants to do is to preach the good news, the gospel message to the Indians in North America. So he comes over and on a boat lands at Georgia. He and his brother, he gets to have a little time to discover that his idea of being a missionary to the Indians doesn't go very well. And they don't seem to be listening. And so he decides he's going to take a little church in Georgia, and it doesn't go very well. And so finally he decides it's time to go home. On the way home on the boat, John Wesley freaks out. He is so scared on the boat ride back, and there are others from another denomination, another group of, that's trained, that are calm and just patient as this incredible storm tosses the boat. And John just is beside himself. And so on May 24, 1738, he ends up going with a few others to a Bible study. And on his way, or as he arrives, they're reading from Luther's preface to the book of Romans. So they're reading the preview of a book. And in that moment, John says, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt like finally I understood that God's love extended even to me." He was an Oxford-trained, ordained priest in the Anglican Church. He had served as a missionary and then comes back. So he's years after he's done all the pieces of discipleship, he finally discovers that he too is loved by God. Assurance is that awareness that God already has you. Every bit of it's taken care of. That's the assurance part. Forgiveness is one thing. Assurance is God has me. Today I'll be with God in paradise. The word paradise is a Persian word which actually meant walled garden. So Jesus doesn't say today you'll be with me in heaven. He says you'll be with me in the garden. I'm not sure whether we should make some great theological point about that or not, but I don't need to. I just want you to explore that a little bit. Maybe a criminal would have understood what he meant by the word paradise. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today, my kingdom comes. Today, God's love and grace comes to you. Jesus says, when we say, "Jesus, remember me," Jesus, embodying the mercy of God, the full love and mercy of God, says to us, "You will be with me in paradise." And we are welcome there not because we have the right theology are because we have lived a perfect life, not because we have been just or righteous, but because God is merciful and we have put all our trust in that one statement. I've got you. It's not about what you do. It's about who God is. That's assurance. Let us pray. Oh God, your cross offers us assurance and forgiveness, but sometimes, Lord, we use it to beat ourselves up with guilt and shame. Let who you are blossom in us so that we might see and hear rightly. Become a new creation, understanding that it is love on the cross, and love still wins. It is love that comes through the kingdom. We know that we have done things in our lives that make us worthy of being a thief on the cross. Help us to not be coy in asking you to save us at the same time you save others. But let us fall on our knees, fall on our face, aware of who we are and what we've done, and aware of who you are and what you have done, and let your mercy flow. Let your grace flow. Let your unconditional love be so unconditional that it extends even to me, even to us, and even to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me invite you to stand as we affirm our faith, as we live in the confidence that comes from God's assurance that God has us, as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.